Hello, John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, indeed you are. And it's another special Safest Milk episode that we're recording today.
Are you noticing a bit of an echo?
I am, yes.
It is quite echoey in here, isn't it?
It is quite echoey in here, John.
That's because we're in King Street Studios in Newcastle-under-Lyme.
Magical Newcastle-under-Lyme. And you know what else, John?
What?
It's not just us.
It isn't.
We've invited two other people.
But yes. They couldn't come.
Yes, so we've got these twats instead.
Yes, you will remember them from our inaugural episode, which we recorded in Prestatyn.
Yes.
Why has it? No, I'm
no,
not doing
don't.
It. No, no.
No, no, no. We've already done that joke, didn't we? Yeah.
So,
we haven't heard me do it.
Yes, we have. Matt, yes, we have. Oh. Just imagining your sardonic voice just churning over John's awful... I was going to say wit, but...
No.
I can't really pronounce inverted commas.
Right, so sitting to my left, we have the dulcet tones of Matt Tyra.
Hello.
And sitting to Mike's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sitting to Matt's right. Yes. So sitting to John's right is Matt, sitting to Matt's right is me, and sitting to my right, on the far right, if you like, it's Gordon Cocaine.
Hello. So. Again, this is recording now, isn't it?
Yes. This is recording now. Okay. This isn't live.
No. I still don't... Can I ask a question?
You can ask a question.
You don't need to put your hand up.
Go on, go on.
I'm still not quite understanding of how these podcasts work.
Right, okay.
So, you record, how do people listen to this?
Via the internet.
But how do they find it?
Via the internet.
But how do they know what to look for?
Well, well, also, we...
Maybe they could ring in. And just it's not. How did you find this?
Hang on, I'll just turn my phone on.
This is a pre-recorded live phone-in show.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So comments might be delayed
a little bit. Okay.
We could just make.
We do operate on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr as well, just to assist with the finding of the thing.
That's not the website Tumblr with the missing letter at the end. That's actually a guy who is a professional Tumblr in the centre of Newcastle.
Yes, indeed.
Who just has your branding.
He does, yes, and he drinks out of a glass receptacle as well.
Mm. Oh, with the flippy signs.
Tumblr, yes. You see? Yeah.
Three different types of Tumblr in one sentence there. That was so awful.
We're a thesaurus.
Yes. Are we pronouncing it like that now?
I am.
Anyway, just to drag things back into focus, we're talking about the ads at Safest Milk 2017, which is happening this April.
Yes.
And as with the four episodes preceding this one, we'll be covering three of those acts. And we've got them written up on a blackboard here. Everyone look at the blackboard.
Isn't it lovely?
This is great radio. Again. Look at the blackboard.
I did take a photo of it earlier, so you can have some reference.
Yes.
But if you look at the laser display screen, and for viewers at home, here's the mystery voice.
So, yeah, we're getting started then with on this episode with Hieroglyphic Being.
Oh.
Now, who wants to... Oh,
go. We're not talking about those things.
Yeah, let's talk about those things. Gordon stepping in with a relevant point there.
Bringing things to order.
Even a stopped clock, as they say.
Yeah.
we're gonna talk about, briefly, our beer.
Yeah.
Because we do like to do a bit of that. So what are you supping, John?
I am supping is this from the 10B Brewing Company, and it's the Smoked Maple Syrup Breakfast Stout.
10B?
10B.
Yes.
Oh, in Wales?
In Wales. Ah. In that Wales they have these days.
Behind the bins.
Behind the bins. Yeah,
what is 3.4% volume?
It's only a gentle little boy, isn't it?
Just like me.
Yeah, bless. Oh. In your gaping shirt and vegetarianism. Your general Morrissey aspect. What do you make of it?
It's very, very nice.
Is it?
I don't know whether I'm getting the pancakes, but I am getting a slightly smoky maple-y.
Smoky monkey.
Thingy.
Lovely. And yet, you two gentlemen are on the same thing, aren't you?
We're kind of going through some different beers to introduce Gordon to the concept of there being more than one type.
I don't have an advanced palate.
Okay.
Things either taste okay or not okay.
Okay. So
this is in the okay side of things.
Right. So that's good then.
I think so.
Right. Yeah.
We sadly were unable to go to an interesting hipster beer supplier, so we went to a chain supermarket that will remain nameless because...
Oh, I have the voucher.
Excellent. Yeah. So we
Gordon's got a voucher, and Liz is at home.
We're not going to mention it, but I've got a voucher for...
we're having a boondoggle because we thought it would be a good place to start with a nice, light, blonde, fruity beer.
Mm.
And that is what we've got.
It's a nice little...
How would you describe
it,
having had a... Right, good.
Get that on the bottle, I think, in the future there, Gordon. It's alright.
any tasting notes without reading the...
It tastes like lager, but not as... Is it?
Hmm. I suppose being a blonde ale, it's got that lager lightness and freshness.
It's got the lightness of the hops. It's not really got much of the sort of darker notes. Mm. But we'll get to that, my friend.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
get to that.
I've seen what you've got lined up there. There's darkness in your future, something.
Cheat by looking at what the information says.
You can if you want, but while you do that, I'm going to be telling you about my beer. Because I did go to the hipster beer shop that John did, and I got a shiny... Brewing Company
really bottle.
It is very shiny. Look at that little sun there with the shiny shininess. And it's a gingerbread ale. And I was expecting it to be basically a ginger ale, but it is proper gingerbread. It's got that sweetness, almost like doughiness to it. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So there we go. We've got a nice little array of beverages there.
So, act number one in Safe as Milk.
As I briefly let slip there.
You did.
Hieroglyphic being.
Oh yeah.
Do you want me to do the reading this time, John? Because you had hell of a time last time, didn't you, Bless?
I trip over my tongue something.
It was.
I have nothing. No. Nothing. I think you've done all the work that I'd normally do from the insult point.
Yeah.
You can get that thing where it reads itself, doesn't it? You know, like text messages where you get it to read to you.
That would be good.
Yeah. My phone sings to me if you ask it to.
I'm going to be honest.
It does.
I don't want my phone to read texts to me. I want my texts to come out of an old-timey stock ticker.
Fantastic.
Just so that I can hold up this very thin strip of paper.
At the Gentleman's Club.
At the Gentleman's Club and go, by Jove!
Well...
They laughed out loud my remark.
Lol.
Lol. Right, I'm going to read you out a little bit from the biog on the Safe as Milk Festival website.
Good luck.
Yeah. Jamal Moss got sucked into Chicago's dance floor world at a tender age, getting turned away from clubs at age 12. 12? 12? As he sought a diversion from the influence of an overbearing Christian upbringing and started weaving into the spheres of Afrofuturism, sound art and four-to-the-floor ecstasy. He formed dance groups that battled rival troops at hip-hop parties and eventually showed his face in the more progressive warehouses after being invited in by the legendary DJ Ron Hardy. So there we go. He's had multiple albums via his own Mathematics label. And he DJs a lot. He's all over the bloody place. This is a very long paragraph. I'm not reading the whole thing. It'll get very boring. Also, the police have come out.
I was going to say, he's not going
as
to
long
sell.
As they don't know where I am, we're fine.
I was going to say, he's not going to sell ice creams going that fast.
So, anyone with a strong opinion got something to say on the matter of hieroglyphic being?
I did not have a strong opinion on hieroglyphic being. It just... I put it on, and it just sort of was on while I was in the same room as it, and it didn't move me, it didn't... not move me.
Mm.
It just rendered me meh. It was... I was a bit bored.
Mm.
I'll be honest. And I think it might be slightly different if you saw it live, but I think even if I did go and see his set, I would... I can imagine there being a hell of a lot of people really into it, but I can also imagine me just staring at the ceiling tiles and trying to count them.
So a glowing review there from Mr. McLeod. What about you, Mr. Tyrone?
I listened to the whole of the Discos of Imhotep album because I thought the most recent one is probably as good a place to start for a live set.
Fair enough, yeah.
Continue.
And then a snippet of like one of the tracks off a different album came on as I was about to move on to one of the other bands, and it sounded a lot more interesting than the record that I'd just listened to.
Okay.
Mm. And I don't know if there was... It feels like something which has got a lot of levels to it and does need a bit more attention paid to it, because I listened to it while I was typing some work up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if some of the nuance got past me, but I think for me this comes under the category of I'll go along and see what it's like live and see what,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of things where I've seen them live and thought, oh, this was really good, and I then bought the album and it's just not, it's not had that same effect, really.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes you listen to something and it's like you've been punched in the chest by how good it is.
Mm.
And then you just can't get that live feel from the record.
Not true, really. Very true. Yeah. I mean, I also listened to Discos of Imhotep.
Yes.
And I too got bored.
Yeah.
While listening to it. So I kind of jacked it in halfway through. And instead, I checked out his Boiler Room session, where he basically DJing. Because apparently, at Saber's Milk, he'll be doing one of his own sets, of his own stuff, and he'll also be doing a DJ set, as we said, on the little festival thing, because I know we were discussing it earlier. On the
we'll not be awake for that. Let's be realistic. We'll have drunk too much too early on and we'll be in bed by midnight like we normally are.
You might be. I'll probably be in someone else's shower. You were wearing a microwave door on me.
You only did that once.
Yeah, but it was very entertaining. But yes.
You don't make friends with salad.
John.
Let's not pick
I
on
should
the
say, about a week or two ago, just decided to stop eating meat. That's what the reference for that is, just so you know.
That's what she said. But yeah, I started listening to the Boiler Room session, which was not his own material. It was there was some kind of post-punk stuff, a bit of kind of synthy kind of stuff. Started off with a Delia Derbyshire piece, which was very, very interesting and set the mood for it. It's quite dour and peculiar.
That's actually quite a good summary, generally, of what I've listened to.
But this set was... It was very... The mixing was untidy. You know, it wasn't very crisp. You know, it didn't kind of interweave from track to track. It kind of like... One track faded out, another track faded in, and there wasn't really much...
You could have interspersed it with just an announcement for the Knobbly Knees contest. And now here's the next song.
Yeah, which would be perfect for Prostatin Pontins, I think.
Who loves Kenny Rogers?
So, but yeah, his selection of songs, though, was fantastic.
Yeah.
So if I am still awake when he does his DJ set, I'll probably be more likely to check that out than his own one. I know Gordon, you also checked out the Boiler Room set.
I did, and I agree. It started off more atmospheric in the sense of setting the scene and lots of people standing around looking a bit confused, not quite sure what to do.
Mm.
But progressed into a more acid-type, acid house slash... old style acid techno at some point.
At some point, yeah.
Nice bit of a build. Nice bit of a storytelling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the stuff I listened to, I couldn't tell you what it was. I
just had it on.
It's kind of soundscapey, techno-y house, but I've heard stuff that's better. I do quite like technos and that side of music in any case. But it was okay. Some of it verged on the sort of old wonk style, if you remember the Michael Forshaw stuff from about 10 years ago. You remember that song, I Love Horses, Best of All the Animals?
Really
it was an advert for a horse magazine for young girls. Anyway, he did a remix.
Plot twist!
But yeah, it wasn't like that.
I've now got my lovely, lovely horse up in my head.
My lovely,
play not that note. We've just done that note.
Play the fucking note.
Yeah, I would say it's more after-hours style electronic house. A bit more, perhaps, for pondering rather than dancing, but interesting.
And who doesn't like a nice ponder on the dance floor?
Well, the people in the Boiler Room.
I frequently wonder what the hell the DJ's thinking.
Well, yeah, I think we've all expressed a nice bit of opinion there, John.
Yeah,
check him.
I think that's probably the most succinct and quick I've ever been.
Name of my sex tape.
Hey, stop.
Next, we have.
Horse Lords Street.
My lovely horse.
I really want to pronounce Horse Lords with like more R's than that.
Horse Lords.
Or slots.
Or slots.
No, it doesn't work. No, rolling the R's. No, that makes it worse.
Parslards.
So, yeah, now we've said the name in several entertaining ways.
None of that was entertaining.
Well, there's the title of the podcast. Straight away there.
Right then. So, shall we go the other way down the line? And
we'll start off with Gordon. Okay. Shall we start off with a little bit of what the website has to say about it?
Yes, please.
Let me just find it on the thing there. Horse lords.
That's Sonic.
Yeah. just horse lords.
Horse lords. Yes. I see what you did there.
Don't do it again.
Listening to Toward the Omega Point on Horse Lord's recent interventions album, brackets Northern Spy, close brackets, may feel like the discovery of some post-math rock holy grail, sounding as it does like mid-period Don Caballero covering Richard Thompson era Fairport Convention, or perhaps even vice versa, whatever the fuck that means.
I did not.
Not as easy as it looks, is it, Mike?
Actually, it's quite easy.
I wouldn't have necessarily used Fairport Convention in there, but
I wouldn't have necessarily used Vice Versa in there either.
Nope.
And like both those outfits, the Baltimore Quartet used complexity to inspire joy and exhilaration. Chiming guitars interlock with crisp, polyrhythmic drums, electronics and sax, countering melodic loops swirling in and out of each other's trajectories. I think that's enough out of you. But yeah, Gordon.
Yeah,
what saith you about the Horse Lords?
I didn't think any of that, but I first of all have never heard of them, so I looked them up on YouTube. And
Have anyone else ever heard of them before?
No.
No, I haven't.
No.
Damn it, we're on the same page as you though, God.
So I stuck something on YouTube and I was very much skipping it in and not really that fast, but then I looked at something else. And
was a picture of a koala?
More music by them, not on YouTube. I can't remember the name of the album, but it was pink with things.
Yes.
Oh, the Interventions.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Possibly the one that you just read out.
Yes, the Interventions album on Northern Spy.
And I thought it was great. It had a sort of Arabic type of feel, I felt. And I'm quite into the whole acid Arab and okra disco kind of electronic Turkish sound stuff that's going. Been quite popular over the last few years, and it reminded me of that type of flavour, and I really liked it. I was really feeling it. But then I had to listen to some of the other stuff as well, which was quite different and also interesting.
I have to take a moment here to marvel at firstly how much research you've done and how on point you're being. Given what you were like on the very first episode.
Well, I was told that
podcast
I,
a bit 90s, aren't we?
I had to do my homework, and so I made sure that Matt wouldn't get upset.
Oh,
Matt, I've never been upset about anything ever.
No, especially not anti-vaxxers.
No,
or flat earthers.
The amount that I'm twitching won't be captured by the microphone.
No, makes a great radio though. So yeah, I also listened to some Horse Lords because otherwise I'd be in trouble with Matt.
I feel like I'm being sold as some sort of overlord, and I'm happy with it.
I did not listen to Interventions. I went onto their Bandcamp page, and I saw they had three mixtapes available for Nout.
Okay.
So I thought I'll check those out. And each one kind of gets a bit more accomplished as it goes along. The first one is very wayward. You can tell they've got talent. You can tell that they know what they're doing, but they've not quite developed the confidence and the experience to really get it down pat.
Yeah.
But as you get through to the third one, by Christ, it's so many great ideas, so many interesting interweaving guitars with all the electronic sounds. And they've got some like that slightly Arabian thing you were talking about as well. That was very interesting. And because it's basically two sides of a tape, so it's about 15 minutes of each of... It's about a 30-minute thing all round, 15 minutes per track. And it just zips and darts all over the place while still staying relatively coherent. So in the end, I have actually purchased a copy of Interventions last night on Bandcamp during that whole ACLU funding.
We're recording this on the 4th of February. So yesterday on the 3rd of February, Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
They were donating their share of all proceedings from purchases to the ACLU.
To basically combat Trump and his ridiculous ideas about putting a wall up and banning Muslims.
Yes.
Is that why it's going so quick?
Yes.
Because
They were flogging a ridiculous amount of stuff yesterday. It was amazing.
Because I don't really go on Bandcamp too often. In fact, hardly ever. In fact, never. I tried to see what people were buying so I could discover some other music after I finished my homework.
It was going too quick to read.
Yeah, every time I saw something with like an interesting thing, I clicked on it and then I would get something else which would be inevitably rubbish. But I did find, I'm kind of veering into a completely different direction, a whole synthwave thing, and there was covers of old Mega Drive music.
There's so much synthwave and vaporwave on
Bandcamp. Mortal Kombat synth covers.
I've dug around in that that neck of the Bandcamp woods myself, and there's some great stuff out there. But yeah, I think I've expressed my opinion now, Matt. Over to you. Have you done your homework?
No, I got Gordon to do it. I didn't listen to as much Horse Lords as I probably should have done, and I might revisit them now. But I have to say, I don't know if it's because, again, I was listening to, I kind of listen to these shows as they're ordered. It's kind of a block. I sat down and I listened to Horse Lords straight off the back of listening to Hieroglyphic Being again while I was still typing away. I just found it. When they talk about, you know, in the description, like the flow of music coming in from different trajectories, I just found it a bit muddy in places. And actually, I wasn't getting that feel of sort of, you know when you've got kind of improvised jazz stuff going on where it can be very, very freeform and then it suddenly locks in and you get that kind of catharsis where you've got that sudden order and then it becomes chaotic again. I wasn't getting that kind of feel from it, but again, I wonder if it's because of the situation in which I listened to them.
I listen to it mostly while walking to and or from work,
right?
And that was just perfect, because it takes me about half an hour to walk to work, so the mixtapes I was listening to were about half an hour a throw. So it was just a neat little bit of music to listen to on my journey.
It was
great. I felt I completely lost myself in the experience, which is what you want when you're walking through a fairly dull area of Newcastle.
Fortunately, I live in a different town and it's much more visually impressive. It's not real, it's in my head. I think that actually there were, from what I remember of it, there were a lot of good elements in it. I just found it a bit overwhelming, given what I was trying to do at the same time. And whilst it was quite nice to be able to have Hieroglyphic Being on, because, you know, I could just do my work without it impacting on me at all. having Horse Lords was then a bit much.
Which may mean you actually will appreciate it more if you dedicate a bit more time to it.
Yeah, I agree completely. And there's certain... when I was finding... It wasn't necessarily as much of a criticism as I seem to have inadvertently made it out to be, but I would be keen to go and see them.
Yes.
And to... Again, it's one of those things, I think it will be better for me to get the live experience and then possibly go back.
Yeah.
Fair enough. John?
Like Matt, I listened to Horse Lords straight off the back of listening to Hieroglyphic Being. But I wasn't doing anything especially. I was just sitting in my living room and just listening to it. And there was a lot of... Almost every song, every track that started, I thought, that's a really good groove. That's a really good idea. I like what they've done there. I like what they've done there. And then they just persist at it for like 5 minutes until it absolutely drove me up the fucking wall. there was just too much sustained noise, so that what became a really good idea was repeated to the point almost of madness.
Mm. Like an Eagles album.
Like an Eagles album. I like their aesthetic, but I don't like how long they keep the same noise going for. Because I started to feel like I was entering some sort of mind warp.
Interesting, that's what I liked about it.
That's the same here, actually, because it reminded me a little bit of Faust.
Yeah.
Because I bought a couple of Faust albums when I was going through my krautrock period a couple of years ago. And it reminded me very much of the early Faust, as crazy things just going off.
Yeah.
And then occasionally coming together and forming a bit of a groove.
Yeah.
And then an awful lot of repetition as well, things like that, which is, you know, kind of a hallmark of a lot of krautrock. It's something that I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah,
I actually agree with you. I found it.
So the room is split, and I'm with Gordon somehow.
I'd be interested to see them live, but I would need to periodically leave the room to have a bit of a therapeutic scream before I came.
I think you'd actually be quite invited to do it there and then. Yeah. It's not going to be a grouper concert. Scream as much as you want, mate. People will love you for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think
it's the curling up in a ball and crying on the floor that they might.
Then that's when you just get in the way.
So that's what I mean.
At that point, you just start getting jumped on.
Yeah.
Again.
Chance would be a fine thing.
I like how you made that sexy.
Sexy crying and screaming.
Isn't that how you do it? The button, Gordon, plays a little sting. It's a little musical sting.
Right.
It helps us denote the different sections of the...
Is it like a Chris Miles sing?
But without the irritation.
Without, yeah.
Oh, and Chris Miles.
There's the title of the episode. Oh, Chris Miles. Look at me and me buttons. Anyway.
I'm just about to break an AYP record and open my second beer.
Holy shit, John. Well, shall we talk about that on next episode?
Yes.
Nice. Excellent. Oh, hello. This beer's being passed around suddenly.
They've been passed around suddenly.
Is it? Yeah. Yes.
So this should be...
It's an ice level.
Yeah.
So I'll pop
that wasn't what I was going
for. There you go. Right, while you apportion some beers, I will tell you about our last act of the episode. Anna Meredith.
Yes.
That Anna Meredith.
Anna
Meredith.
Anna.
Meredith.
Anna Meredith.
Fucking hell. Right.
Anna Meredith.
You know what? I think we're just going to spend the entire time at the festival sitting in the chalet saying band names badly.
It's like some kind of shit knockoff Pokemon, just shouting names at each other. Me. Right, Anna Meredith. Shut it. Straddles numerous musical worlds, God bless her. Draws out their most interesting elements and creates something very individual and irresistibly dynamic. The track Nautilus first caught our and others' ears when it appeared in 2012. Its mutant brass fanfare seemingly dripping with portent. And then, just as climax is anticipated... Jesus Christ.
I'm an adult.
Meredith deftly combines conflicting time signatures and takes the track somewhere unexpected.
A bit like Lau, really.
Yes. I think straight away that already gives you a good idea of what was going on there. Should we knock it back that way, John? You start us off with Anna Meredith and your opinions thereupon.
This follows on from having listened to all three albums in one night.
Yeah.
So Hieroglyphic being meh me, Horse Lords broke my face. And so by the time I started listening to Varmints by Anna Meredith, I was a giddy mess. And so it's best not to be a giddy mess when you start listening to Varmints.
Especially not when you're starting off with Nautilus, because that's a harpy beaster of a track.
So I listened to it again, actually, this morning, so that I could get a bit of distance from it. Because by the time I finished it on the first listen, I thought, this is good, but my patience is shredded beyond belief, and I'm going to need to listen to this again fresh. So I listened to it again this morning. Mm. It is a brilliant album. It's a wonderful mix of sounds and styles, and there's a sort of original slant to it that you could almost accredit to St. Vincent, I think, because it's really playing with sounds and voices and all sorts of things. There's some really great moments on them. I think my favourite track on the whole thing, I think Nautilus is actually one of my favourites. But I also enjoyed a track called The Vapours.
How appropriate.
How very appropriate indeed. I thought it was a really brilliant work, and I would love to see this translated to the stage, because I bet it's amazing.
Right, grand. It's nice to see a smile on your face there, John.
One out of three.
Hey! Matt, about you?
I really enjoyed it. I haven't really got anything to add to what you said. It's a really good record. I'm looking forward to seeing it live.
Yeah.
I mean, no two ways about it. I did the same thing as you in that I listened to two of them back to back, and actually, after getting a bit hacked off with Horse Lords, sorry.
I'm not in the fucking band. I'm not their mums.
I know, but I'm worried.
I don't care.
I'm worried that this is going to end up in some sort of tag team match. I'm just trying to placate before a situation emerges. I've completely lost my train of thought. Thanks.
Excellent.
To that conversation or element there. No, I really liked it. I listened to it back to back, and actually, I found the range and variety of Varmints really refreshing after both Hieroglyphic Being and Horse Lords.
Yeah. I can't fault either of you, because I really enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. It seems a lot of the music seems split into two camps, which is exemplified by the first two tracks.
Yeah.
You've got Nautilus, which is kind of almost like an electro-classical kind of thing. You know, it feels a bit like classical music played with electronic means, and then it does have like mentioned in that Safe as Milk extract I read out. It does do that thing where the rhythm changes, like this kind of wubby noise comes in, and then suddenly this, which is completely at odds with everything.
Totally, and it just changes the way you hear that.
It completely changes the track. It's beautiful, but then the next track, Taken, is a straight up pop tune. And it's got lovely little harmonies going on. It's got a cracking little tune to it.
There's some great vocal.
There's one track, I can't remember what it's called, but it sounded almost immediately to me like Saint Etienne, which is never going to be a bad thing for my tastes. So I too, I'm quite excited about seeing Anna Meredith.
It's on my must watch.
It's nice to have something that does have that quantity of variety, purely because sometimes the problem with festivals that I've been to in the past is when stuff becomes really samey. Mm. When you have somebody that's that varied within their own thing, it is a wonderful palate cleanser. Going from, you know, if the offerings that afternoon happened to be those bands in that order, you know, Hieroglyphic Being, Horse Lords, Anna Meredith, that would be absolutely ideal for then moving on to whatever the evening's lineup was.
And also, it's nice to have someone whose idea of experimental is more along the playful lines than the challenging lines.
Yes.
And she's very much a playful kind of artist. She likes to have a bit of fun with what she's doing and just do something a bit different without trying to bang the audience's head in.
And you need that.
You need that. I mean, I don't mind having my head banged in.
No, I don't either.
I love a bit of it. But it's nice to have a little bit of sweetness to it.
But you can't have complex and challenging every single act, because it's exhausting.
It is.
And how do you make it to a DJ set?
Exactly. You don't. That's the answer. Anyway, Gordon, there's been an awful lot of opinion being thrown around on Anna Meredith.
There has. And there's been a lot of positivity.
Yes.
And I'm going to bring some negativity.
Hey! There's the lad.
I wasn't keen It wasn't for me. I wasn't feeling it at all. I tried to give it a chance.
Yeah.
It just frustrated me. I can't even tell you why. I just wasn't feeling it. There was just something that wasn't resonating with me, and I just would rather listen to something else. Granted, I didn't really listen to any of the tracks all the way through because I tried, and I just thought, it's just not the sort of thing I'm into.
Yeah, it's funny as well, because I think Nautilus is actually quite a challenging opening track.
It's one of the more challenging tracks.
I think it was made more challenging by having just had my head battered in.
You're already fairly softened at that point, right?
You
had to end up against the wall and tears in your eyes.
Oh, this is it. So when the first track of that starts, I'm just like, oh God, I'm not actually sure how much of this I can take. whereas listening to it again, like I say, listening to it again this morning meant that I was a little bit more receptive to it. But I think the difference between how I felt about it on the first listen and how you felt about it is that by the time I got to the end of it, I thought, there is something here, but I'm not ready for it now.
Mm.
So I'm going to need to go away, come back again, and see what I think.
One of the things that I find challenging, and this is with any kind of music, there's certain tones, there's certain frequencies that just kind of turn me off.
I think in her
vocals, it's just got a particular tone it doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So that's just my take on it.
A lot to be said for instinct in terms of...
Yeah, can't doubt it. But I think we've reached the point now where John knows what's coming.
I do.
Yeah, it's where we've reached the point where...
Do we have to get in a giant crystal and grab tickets?
Yes, we do. If you're 100 gold, you can go to the festival. No, it's awful things are happening. You are, right now, imagine yourself, you're trapped in your chalet.
I can't imagine myself.
Imagine Gordon then. He's trapped in his chalet, you know, imagine you are Gordon now.
Can I be wearing shorts?
Can I be wearing shorts?
Yes, you can both be wearing shorts. You can both be wearing the same pair of shorts. If you are,
right? Oh, no.
I'm not going to hold it against you. Basically, you're in your chalet. Outside is awful. Horrible things. It's actually quite nice outside right now. It's actually lovely. But imagine it's not. Imagine it's dreadful. Imagine
Donald Trump's out there.
Donald Trump and Sean Spicer. He's licking your doorknobs.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, Steve Bannon's got his willy in your letterbox. But, but you know those three bands are playing all at the same time. One of those bands, you're going to brave Steve Bannon's knob. to go and watch them live. Which one of those bands are you going to step through your front door of the chalet to go and see?
Well, after Steve Bannon's No, I'm going to need a palate cleanser, so... So Anna Meredith.
Anna Meredith, she's the one you're going to be braving the awful for. What about you, John? Not going to be surprised, is it?
No.
Anna Meredith, really?
Horse Lords.
Horse Lords, lol.
Horse Lords.
What about you, Gordon?
Do we have letterboxes?
No.
Also, Steve Bannon's probably not going to be there.
Oh.
I don't think any of the current Republican administration.
And
get
how
any
far
presents.
Is the chalet to the?
you've got the venue at one end. Our chalet. Imagine our chalet.
Oh, it's the large chalet on the block.
Imagine right to the back.
That's a long way.
It's like imagine it's a really long way away. We don't know where our chalet is yet, Gordon. Oh, we won't know till we get there. But imagine it's miles away. You're in Matt's shorts. Donald Trump's farting in your cheesecake.
Well, it depends on the time of day, because if it's sort of in the middle of the day or early evening, I'd go to Horse Lords. But if it's at night and I was quite awake, I'd probably go to the hieroglyphic being acid house set.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep it simple and say that Horse Lords is probably the one that's going to tempt me out the most. But Anna Meredith, again, I'm very keen on, but Horse Lords just do that kind of that weird guitar thing that I'm just deeply into.
Mm.
Although, I agree with Gordon, I'm more interested in the hieroglyphic being DJ set than him actually playing his own stuff, and that could be very interesting. But Horse Lords, they're the one I'm most interested in out of those three, for my own personal taste.
You could go to all three, though, couldn't you?
You could go, fuck me.
That's not how the game works.
Well, it depends on the timing.
We'll deal with that later.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not worry about that now.
Quite understand.
Oh, so you have to. You can only go to one.
Yes, you had to make the choice.
That's why I said the start. Imagine they're all playing at the same time.
Oh, I would just go between the rooms.
Fucking hell. We're going to have to explain the rules of this for the next episode, aren't we, John?
Maybe.
But shall we call it time on that one?
Yeah, that's episode 5 of our Safer's Malton run-up.
Huzzah, run-off.
Runny.
Cottage cheese of deliciousness.
I just need to remind myself what
normal that
sounds like.
End the fucking
episode,
John.
And on that note, it's time to say cheerio. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties. And the theme music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
Huzzah!